This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins. Sitting in for Tony today is the producer of Washington Watch, Russ Jones.
And happy Friday indeed. This is Russ Jones, producer of Washington Watch. It's good to be with you once again. You glad it's the weekend time? Got big plans. It's been a busy week. You know, the D.C. battle over immigration is intensifying. The White House provided details Thursday saying they envision 1.8 million Dreamers getting citizenship rights in exchange for major changes to security on the border and tougher policies that would speed up deportations from inside the U.S. You know, is the president changing his tune, or is it the art of the deal? We'll talk with Frank Gaffney, founder, president, and CEO of the Center for Security Policy in just a moment. And the Senate is set to vote on a bill that would implement a 20-week abortion ban. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina is the sponsor of the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. He'll be here with a preview of Monday's vote. And later in the show, we'll find out why popular conservative Christian blogger and homeschool mother known as the activist mommy was banned from Twitter, and Facebook says the threat to burn activist mommy alive doesn't violate community standards. How interesting. We'll talk with activist mommy Elizabeth Johnston towards the end of the show, and of course we'll take your calls. You can find all this great content on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at Russ Jones Speaks. Well, President Trump's one-page framework calls for granting a pathway to citizenship for nearly 2 million young illegal immigrants in exchange for tens of billions of dollars for his border wall and other policies that would dramatically restrict legal immigration in the coming years. Listen to what he had to say in Davos, Switzerland.
Do you want citizenship for Dreamers?
We're going to morph into it. It's going to happen at some point in the future. Over a period of 10 to 12 years.
And this is what he had to say several different times on the campaign trail and over the past year. Listen.
And these are people that come over the country, the Dreamers. And I said, what about our children?
We will immediately terminate President Obama's two illegal executive amnesties.
It's a very, very tough subject. We are going to deal with DACA with heart.
Now, the president wants the Senate to draft legislation based on his blueprint and introduce it by February 5th, just 3 days before funding for the government runs out. Joining us now is friend of the program, Frank Gaffney, founder, president, and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. Frank, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Russ. It's great to be with you as always.
Yes, it is. Well, Frank, you know, Republicans are mixed over the Trump immigration plan, and Democrats hate it. And having said that, President Trump is, what shall we say? He's a transactional president. Is this most likely not his final plan?
Well, I have to say what's worrying is it's almost certainly not the final plan for those who are going to be turning this into law. It's an opening bid. And it's a deeply flawed opening bid, as far as I'm concerned, Russ. And what's worrying is it can only get worse. I mean, the president is prepared to give an amnesty and a path to citizenship, not only for 1.8 million, it may be more, by the way. We don't really know. So-called Dreamers, which is a larger universe of illegal aliens than just the DACA kids, the so-called DACA kids. But that's only one part of it. They're planning on applying some 4 million additional visas that would not go to the chain migration of extended families and to the visa lottery winners to other immigrants who would be coming in legally under a backlog of people who've applied for those visas. So we're talking about at least 6 million new immigrants, a good third of whom probably have been here illegally, and the others are becoming in. And I think that's not what the American people voted for when they elected Donald Trump. And you're right, he's a transactional kind of guy, and he's staked out a position that insists he's going to do something compassionate to help the DACA kids. I think this is over the top, and I think most of the people in his base feel the same way.
Well, Frank, let me ask you this. You know, for a Christian, and for anybody, really, I mean, would you agree this is a complicated issue with all kinds of tentacles? If the president were sitting across from you right now, what advice, what counsel would you give him?
Look, in some ways it's complicated, and in other ways it's brutally simple.
Mm-hmm.
We should be honest about this. This is not so much about compassion. For a lot of the people who are champions of this kind of project, this is about changing the composition of the American electorate. And don't take my word for it. The Center for American Progress, a George Soros-funded, John Podesta-empowered so-called think tank in Washington that is kind of the ideological hub of the left these days, actually put out a memo a couple of weeks ago saying to the Democrats primarily and others, you've got to hold the line on immigration. We need to get those voters in. This is a paraphrase, but that was the gist of it. And the point is, that's fairly simple. If the president goes down this road, Russ, mark my words, if he goes down this road of engaging in immigration policies that are at odds with what the people who voted for him elected him to do, I believe they will not turn out in the numbers that are required, certainly, in the fall elections. And if they don't turn out, an energized Democratic base will, and we will have a Democratic House of Representatives. And if that happens, I think you can take it to the bank. You will have the President of the United States impeached. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he's convicted in the Senate, probably not. But if he is impeached, it will be the end, effectively, I think, of his presidency, because he will spend the rest of his time and his political capital trying to cope with that reality. So that's fairly simple. It's suicide for Republicans to do this. Some of the details of these various proposals, and it's just one page, as you say. It's an outline of a proposal. It's not the legislation itself. Can be complicated, yes, but that underlying reality is the thing we've got to be keeping very much in focus. There are ways to deal humanely with people without opening our borders, without being indiscriminate about the people we're letting in, and without putting our country, I believe, as a result, at risk.
Well, you know, in Tony's book, he's got a chapter on this whole topic, as you probably know. And he said,
he does.
Part of the problem with immigration policy today is that we have not had a consistent, coherent philosophy of immigration in the past, and that needs to happen. Do you see that happening in this process?
Well, look, I think what the president has had an opportunity to do, and it came about as a result of the shutdown effort last week, engineered by Chuck Schumer. It collapsed, as you know, Russ, because Democrats who were up for re-election in states that Donald Trump carried, red states as they're called, bailed out on him. Why? Because they realized they were on the wrong side of this issue of seeking to hold the government of the United States hostage to making amnesties for illegal aliens. That was a loser for them. This was an opportunity for a fundamental, I believe, retooling of this whole political environment. There's a narrow window here. I'm afraid the president with this plan may well have turned that opportunity into an opportunity missed, because now the Republicans are fractured and not the Democrats. It may well be that they still won't get a bill because the Democrats won't fall in line behind the president. They'll want more. But Republicans are certainly, some number of them anyway, prepared to go down this road. And what would come out of that, to answer your question directly, would be, I'm afraid, if there is an alignment between the left and some Republicans who are indifferent to the suicide they're committing, enabled by the president. You will have perhaps a comprehensive approach to immigration, but it will not be reform worthy of the name, and it will, in fact, make matters worse, I fear.
And I think it's safe to say that Democrats overplayed their hand a few days ago, and maybe they it's did. Safe to say that Republicans have been overly confident on this. And is this simply a way to woo Democrats? Is that what's happening here?
Well, I think that's the idea on the face of it. But in fact, what the president has signaled is he's going to undercut the most promising piece of legislation that has come along in years, and that is the one that was introduced in the House of Representatives by the House Judiciary and Homeland Security Committee chairman, Bob Goodlatte, and Congressman McCaul. He's, I'm afraid, now undercut that effort entirely. We'll see. But the reality is what was in that bill, though it did have an amnesty for 700, 1,000 of these so-called DACA kids, which I think many of us held our nose and were willing to go along on, because it actually did have other structural changes that were real, as opposed to what I fear is coming out of this this proposal of the president's. Not least because the president's proposal puts, as always happens in these kinds of transactions, the things the left and the Democrats more generally and the left Republicans or rhinos want up front. And the stuff that is supposed to be the good deal that we're supposed to be happy about always gets left to the rear. And it will not come to pass, I fear, particularly if, you know, the control of Congress changes in the next 8 or 9 months.
And you know, Frank, it's been, what, half a century since comprehensive immigration reform has taken place. So next week's really a big week, isn't it?
It could well be. I'm hoping that what we'll see is that Paul Ryan has said he is not going to negotiate about immigration and the government is shut down. I've heard that Democrats are saying they're not going to shut down the government over illegal immigrants again. So it may be that we have more time, but they should do it right, not just do it because they're under a deadline and in the process do it wrong.
Right. And we've heard about a merit-based program. We've heard restricting chain migration to spouses and minor children in the White House plans, you know, calls for additional funds for the wall. And President Trump really wants the wall. We'll just see how bad he wants it, I guess.
Well, he needs to want it now. Not just to get the funding that will be available maybe later, but he needs it now because, not least, if you're going to signal that the game of immigration amnesty is on again, you're going to have more people coming over that porous border. We need the wall first and then maybe amnesty.
And, of course, I think the plan calls for eliminating the visa lottery, right? Limits family sponsorships and whatnot.
Yeah, these are important steps. It's just I'm afraid the devil will be in the details. They're going to be letting in an awful lot more immigrants, and that is going to have the effect, make no mistake about it, of changing the composition of the electorate. It may be the last time we have a chance for a Republican president, let alone Congress.
Frank Gaffney, enlightening as always. Thank you so much for joining us here on Washington Watch. You have a blessed weekend.
Thank you, and to you too, my friend.
All right, thank you. It's Frank Gaffney. Always lots of wisdom there. He knows this issue well. He knows the details. As he said, devil's in the details. And we'll be looking closely next week to see what is coming down the pike on immigration. Well, coming up next, the Senate will likely vote Monday. It will vote Monday on a bill to ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. We'll talk with Senator Lindsey Graham, who introduced the bill, when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Well, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks for listening to this Friday edition. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's great to be with you today. Well, back in October, Senator Lindsey Graham introduced a 20-week abortion ban in the Senate with the support of 45 GOP senators 2 days after a similar bill had passed in the House. Now, it's called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, and it would make illegal for any person to perform attempt an abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy, with the possibility of 5 years in prison, fines, or both. And with us now is Senator Graham of South Carolina. He retired from the Air Force Reserves in June of 2015, having served his country in uniform for 33 years and is a strong proponent of pro-life policy. Senator Graham, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks, Russ. I'm glad Tony got a day off, and I'm glad you're hosting the show.
Well, thank you. I produce the show and behind the scenes most of the time, and it's good to be with you here today. Now, Senator Graham, as the lead sponsor of the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, what are you anticipating? Apparently, we're going to see a vote on Monday.
Well, number one, majorities matter, Russ. Chuck Schumer would not bring this bill to the floor. Mitch McConnell did, so a Republican majority matters when it comes to pro-life causes. What are we trying to accomplish here? We're going to have a vote on the floor of the United States Senate as to whether or not America will be one of seven countries on the entire globe that allows abortion on demand in the fifth month of pregnancy, 20 weeks. There are only seven countries, one of which is the United States, that allows this. This is a radical idea of allowing abortion on demand in the fifth month. But the most exciting thing to me is that we're coming up with a new theory to protect the unborn. Under Roe v. Wade, the only time the government can act is when there's medical viability. The state and federal government can come in and protect the unborn when you're medical viability. Well, a lot's changed in terms of medicine since 1973. This is a new theory. We know that doctors can perform surgery on 20-week-old babies, and that baby feels pain. They provide anesthesia to protect the baby from pain when you're trying to save the baby's life. So the theory of the case is that the government has a right to protect an unborn child from excruciating pain. I cannot think of anything more excruciating than abortion. At 20 weeks, young parents are asked to sing to the child. because the child can begin to recognize your voice. People have actually survived the birthing process at this point. But this is a whole new theory of the case. The government can protect an unborn child from excruciating pain. The medical science is on our side, and I look forward to the debate and the vote.
Yeah, as you're saying, I mean, science, scientific advances have made it possible for the unborn to survive even outside the womb
right.
at earlier stages of pregnancy. And, you know, the left loves science, but not on this one, do they?
Well, you know, that's pretty funny when you say that. The demagoguery against our bill is pretty overwhelming, but 60% plus of Americans support this legislation. Banning abortion on demand in the fifth month of pregnancy is a mainstream view of what we should be doing. The radical idea is to allow an unborn child to be aborted in the fifth month of pregnancy. We have exceptions for the life of the mother, rape and incest under certain conditions, but there are 20 states who've passed this legislation. There are four Democrats who represent four states who passed the legislation at the state level. It took about 15 years to get partial birth abortion through. I authored the Unborn Victims of Violence Act. Now it's a federal crime to do harm to a pregnant woman and her unborn child. So it's going to take a while. We've been doing this since 2013. I'm confident that we're going to win this debate because it is the right thing to do for America to stop abortion on demand in the fifth month of pregnancy, and I want to get out of the club of seven.
In doing my research on this topic, public opinion polls have found there's support for the 20-week abortion bans in the past, and even among Democrats. But as we saw with Sam Brownback's vote, not one Democrat voted to protect religious persecution. What can we expect?
Well, you had three Democrats vote with us last time. I appreciate Mitch McConnell bringing it to the floor. I think you can expect growing support for the bill. A lot of demagoguery against the bill is a pretty simple concept. If a baby can make it to the fifth month, 20 weeks, we're going to outlaw abortion on demand. We're one of seven nations, again, who allow such a gross procedure. And we're going to try to get out of that club. And I think we're going to get more support from Democrats and Republicans. A majority of pro-choice people, when they understand what we're trying to do, actually support the legislation. So the only way we're going to change behavior is to get on the floor and fight to change. The Right to Life movement is growing in popularity. There's more support for the unborn child today than there's ever been since 1973. And this, again, is another example of the Right to Life movement focusing on the baby, asking America a very simple question: do we want, as a nation, to allow a baby to be aborted in the fifth month? That baby can feel excruciating pain. Medical science tells us that. If you operate on the baby, you provide anesthesia to protect the child during the operation. Should we as a nation allow abortion on demand, which is an incredibly painful death, I would say that most people over time will be with us.
And, of course, the bill has been dubbed Micah's Law, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about that, but it's estimated that the bill would prevent between 10,000 and 18,000 late-term abortions every year.
Yeah, well, you know, people are, yes, this affects a lot of people. Micah's a young man from Iowa that Joni Ernst talks about, who's a terrific voice for the pro-life cause, who was basically born, was able to survive about the size of a M&M bag and made it. Mm. But the theory of the case is not that you're viable at 20 weeks, which some people are. The theory of the case is that medical science is making, you know, marching toward helping unborn children. 20 weeks now, there are cases like Micah. But the theory of the case is that the government can protect an unborn child from excruciating pain. We know medical science tells us that the baby at that stage of development can feel pain. You can see the baby move when they're poked. So the bottom line is this is a completely new way to protect the unborn. To me, that's the most exciting thing about it.
Well, Senator Graham, thank you so much for being with us here today on Washington Watch. We're out of time. We'll be keeping an eye on this on Monday and lifting up a lot of prayers. We appreciate your fight in the battle.
Thank you. Pray hard and get on the phone.
Yes, we will. We will. We'll give out that number. And, you know, there's 16 states currently that ban abortion after 20 weeks. Why not the nation? Well, coming up next, a popular conservative blogger, Elizabeth Johnston, who is also known as the activist mommy, has denounced Facebook after claiming that Facebook ruled that her group had threatened to burn her alive and not violated its community standards. After this break, we'll talk with Elizabeth Johnston. She'll be here in just a moment. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony's the president of the Family Research Council, and I'm the producer of this very program. Hey, I wanted to give out a phone number. Senator Graham encouraged the electorate to call their senators. That phone number is 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121. Encourage your senator to vote in favor of the 20-week abortion ban. That vote will be taking place on Monday. Well, Elizabeth Johnston, otherwise known as the activist mommy, says Twitter is bullying her. Imagine that. Johnston is known to express her conservative opinions and biblical perspectives on social media about controversial topics. Johnston, who holds traditional Christian beliefs about sex, abortion, and marriage, is known for her videos that she posts on her blog and on social media. She recently voiced concern to Facebook about a private Facebook group that is titled, I Will Find Activist Mommy and Burn Whoever Runs It Alive. That is amazing. Elizabeth, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for having me, Russ.
Did I get that right?
You actually got that right.
Sadly,
Facebook said that they would not remove the page, that it did not go against their community standards. Now, if I had issued a death threat to anyone on the left, I can assure you that I would not be allowed to use their platform. In fact, I'm banned from Twitter as we speak.
So let's get this right. Someone said if they found you, whoever activist mommy is, that they would burn you alive. And according to Facebook, doesn't break their community standards, their policies. That's right.
I got the email back. This does not go against our community standards, and they were not going to delete it. And hundreds of people reported it, and they still haven't deleted it. And I contacted a Facebook employee that I have access to, mm-hmm. and gave them another opportunity to make sure that they didn't want to retract this decision, that it wasn't an automated error, and that an actual physical person was reviewing this at Facebook. And mm-hmm. She said to me, because they changed the name of the group to "May God Cause the Activist Mommy to Spontaneously Combust."
Oh, gosh.
They are not going to be able to. I can't even tell this.
I don't mean to laugh. I'm not. That's not a good laugh.
It's truly comical, because what they've been trying, these big tech companies, Silicon Valley elitists, what they've been trying to hide now for so long, can no longer be hidden, to the point that it is almost comical. It's so obvious to all of us, and the public is growing increasingly disgruntled about the double standard and the hypocrisy between the way big tech treats those on the left and those on the right.
Now, in regards to Twitter, apparently you were put in the naughty room for 7 days because you pointed out that transgender teens are more likely to commit suicide due to lack of support. Is that right?
Yes. Listen, this is a medical fact.
Mm-hmm.
Are we really not going to allow people to state medical facts now? We have the Silicon Valley elitist purging from the internet medical facts that do not comport with their progressive ideals. This is George Orwell's 1984. My husband is a medical doctor, okay? I know what the facts of the situation are, and 41% of transgenders attempt to commit suicide, as opposed to 4% of the general population. This is terrible. Have we no compassion for these transgender individuals who need psychological and emotional counseling and therapy? And so I pointed out in my tweet, as I shared a news story about a transgender teenager who had sadly committed suicide, I shared in this tweet that the LGBT community owes it to these teenagers to make sure they get the help that they need, instead of saying, no, you're entitled to a sex change, you're entitled to hormones, you're entitled to a name change. And because I stated that, I was banned from Twitter for 7 days. And actually, they have extended that, and they won't tell me why. And so I'm still not back on Twitter.
Well, you've got, I checked you out. You've got like 500,000 followers on Facebook. You're kind of a thing, you know. And
glory to God.
That's a big following, and I'm sure you don't take that lightly. But you talk to someone at Facebook, but not at Twitter.
I don't have any physical contact at Twitter, so I have no recourse. I'm completely shut out. I have multiple impersonation pages at Twitter that have been created, and they.
I think I found one of them.
Yeah, they are taunting me and trying to humiliate me, and they are pretending to be me, and they are acting like I'm saying things like that I want to kill gays. Which, of course, is an absolute lie, and saying that I abuse my children, which is an absolute lie. And I have reported this to Twitter and sent them copious amounts of documentation to prove my identity, and Twitter is claiming that I have not proven my identity.
Well, Elizabeth, we're out of time. We'll continue to watch this, and folks, you can find out how to follow the Activist Mommy on TonyPerkins.com. Elizabeth Johnston, thank you so much, and please keep us in the loop. You've got my contact information. Let us know how it's going.
Absolutely. God bless.
God bless you, too. Wow. Let's talk about this. I want to hear from you. Phone number is 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Coming down the home stretch, it's Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. It's been a pleasure to be with you yesterday and today. Wasn't that something, the activist mommy? Wow. You know, people are getting threatening tweets and posts and threats, and you would be amazed. If you were on the front lines and you are proclaiming the gospel, and if you are pushing back against the cultural norms of the day, you've got a big old bullseye on you. I've had it for years, and, ask Tony, Family Research Council, these folks, I work with folks here that every day stand up and push back against the culture. And even, we didn't get into it in that segment, but I was reading the other day where hashtags are going to start being monitored that are somehow not politically correct. But hey, our folks and listeners out in Marshall, Texas, wanted to give you a heads up. Tony will be speaking at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas this Sunday at the 8:30 and 11 o'clock service. So get a note from your pastor. It's okay for you not to be there. Go hear Tony. He's always got a great word. But he'll be at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas on Sunday. Also, we just found out that he's going to be speaking at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention coming up February 27th through March 2nd. So that will be an awesome event, and a lot of big time folks on the featured guest list there. And Tony Perkins is one of them. But did you know also, I'm going to go to the phone lines have just blown up here. A year, what was it? It's been January 26th. 1784, that Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter to his daughter about the Great Seal. Did you know he wanted the turkey rather than the eagle on the badge of the Society of Cincinnati medal looked more like a turkey. But anyway, that's our great symbol, our seal. And he just thought we should have a turkey rather than an eagle. Be curious to hear what you've got to say. In 1775, a letter in the Pennsylvania Journal made a good case for the rattlesnake. These were other ideas as the appropriate symbol of the temper and conduct of American. And in 1776, Franklin's official suggestion while on the first seal, Great Seal Committee, was an historic scene with Moses and Pharaoh, which that committee recommended for the reverse side of the Great Seal. I just thought that was a little interesting factoid, but he wanted the turkey rather than the eagle. What say you? Well, let's go to Charlinda in San Angelo, Texas. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. And thank you for what y'all do on this program. It opens America's eyes to what's really taking place in our government, and I appreciate that personally.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is the last time I checked, anytime you make a death threat to someone, and I take burning someone alive or threatening to burn them alive as being a death threat, the last time I knew that was illegal. And I am just shocked at the way our country, the direction it's taking. I mean, what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right, and it's just, it blows my mind. And at 64 years old, I have lived through the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and now, you know, it just blows my mind the way the morality in our country has gone downhill. I am appalled.
And you know what happens? People hide behind social media. I don't think they would ever say the kind of things they say if they were standing to you directly in person. At least I would hope not. And they hide behind the...
I would hope not.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. Hey, let's go to Jennifer in Illinois. Hi, Jennifer. Happy Friday.
Hi. Thank you. Good. Have a good weekend. So wonderful to have me on. I appreciate that. And I kind of totally agree with the lady that just spoke before me. I was blown away to think that we could be monitored and stopped for speaking the truth, but we are right now. So I kind of have a solution that I've been tossing around in my head of just trying to get group-minded people together, you know, once a month to get meetings together just so that we can all kind of fight back or maybe not even fight back, but just stand our ground and make sure that we're speaking truth to our kids, you know.
Cause right.
I've got a, she'll be five on Sunday, and I'm due on March 2nd, so
oh, wow.
Something that's really important to me. To
Jennifer, I've got a novel thought. I've got a novel thought. You know what one of those groups could be?
What's that?
It's called the church.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's called the church.
But, you know, but I don't know, like, where I live here, it's so hard to have, I don't have a lot of churches around me, and really even churches that would even go into this, you know, and that's, it's kind of strange to say that, but it really is kind of like that. And I don't know. It just, it seems like there's just not enough being done from the people that really, truly feel the same way, you know.
There's a lot of fear, a lot of intimidation, I think, from the pulpit. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for calling Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Barbara in Dallas, Texas, the Lone Star State. How are you doing, Barbara?
I'm doing well. Thank you for all that you do. I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment regarding Frank Gaffney, what he was trying to encourage. Well, I mean, I don't know what we can do as individual Christians other than send an email to the White House and encourage him to, our president, President Trump, to endorse and encourage the Goodlatte bill, which is H.R. 4760, I believe.
Right.
I emailed him right before your program. I don't see that happening. That needs to be done. That is a fair and just bill, and it just needs to be encouraged. Don't you agree?
Yes, and you know, as I said, this is a complicated issue, and you know, Barbara, just once, I'd like to hear some scripture in the debates. I mean, how do we deal with some of the?
The sixth chapter of Judges, chapters 1 through, I believe, 7. God judged Israel by allowing the Amalekites and other nations to come in after they had sown their seed and the seed for their harvest, and the harvest was ripe. Mm-hmm. God encouraged those Amalekites to come in and take over. They came in with their animals, all their people. It was a judgment, God's judgment, regarding the sins of Israel. And when Israel finally cried unto God and pleaded with God for mercy, God took care of the issue. And that's in the sixth chapter of Judges. Right.
And I was reading in Tony's book, he's quoted, he's got a number of scriptures there. And what do we do with a stranger resides with you in your land? You shall not do him wrong. You know, these are difficult issues. How do we deal with that? How do we serve up, at some point in time, we're all a stranger in the foreign land. That doesn't mean we, hey, y'all come, we're having a big party. So.
But, many people from Hispanic countries, Central America specifically, are coming here for security because they are dealing with gangs that are charging them a fee monthly. It's called extortion.
Right.
They're coming here for security, and they too, the Hispanics, because I'm a bilingual teacher. I just recently retired. Right. I know I have Hispanic friends that I love dearly, and they tell me about the horrors that are occurring in their own countries, and they're coming here looking for security, and they too want us to secure the borders.
Right.
Well,
Barbara, thank you so much. Got to get on to some of the other callers. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Lincoln, Nebraska. Lance, welcome to the show.
Hi Russ. How you doing? Hey, keep up the good work, you, Tony, and family research people. Appreciate all that you're doing.
I am blessed and highly favored beyond what I deserve.
Great. And I support this ministry. So, keep up the good work. It's important. And I was just going to say I commend mommy activists and others who are taking that stand, and just like you and Tony and others, standing for what's right. But it's important that we do that, because there's just so much, I can get angry when I hear things like that, death threats against her, whatever. We don't want to get so angry that we sin. But, we need to pray. We need to take a stand and stand up against the, stand for what's right. That's important in policies and in our communities. We have to take that stand as the body of Christ. So, So anyway, appreciate all you're doing. And
while I got you,
need to,
while I got you, what do you think of Ben Franklin? He wanted the turkey instead of the eagle.
Say that again.
Ben Franklin, he wanted the turkey instead of the eagle. I was talking about that earlier today. You remember that?
Oh, okay. No, huh? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off. I was just trying to take
problem. thanks. Thanks, Russ. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Stacy in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Stacy.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You're in my home state.
Right on. I know, I heard that a couple of weeks ago. Well, I'll try to make it quick. I just want to say, I could reiterate and say all the same things that everybody else has said, so I fully share their sentiments, but I'll share this. I have really been having a lot of growing frustrations because I'm raising young ladies. I have a 15-year-old daughter. I'll just try to make it quick. She was approached 2 years ago to have a lesbian relationship by her best friend. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had to end that, we stopped that relationship with her. And then this year she had a young man was interested in her, and they started, school dating or whatnot.
Right.
And she only wanted to be friends. Anyway, I digress, because now, she wasn't interested in the boy. And since that young lady come to her for a relationship, now I believe that she has thrown out the comment of maybe she's asexual. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, no, you're 15. You're 15. You don't have to have a relationship with anybody right now,
Right.
So as a parent, I understand the grandma that was on there, and then the other young lady who's about to give birth in March. And I'm so frustrated because I need the band together, because I'm thinking I do get angry because the world is constantly inundating my children.
Yes.
And it's not fair, because it's tearing apart what I'm trying to build in myself in my home.
Right.
And Yes. So, but this, your show helps and it encourages me to hear the other callers, because I think, well, okay, I'm not alone, and I know I'm not alone.
Well, you know, I've always maintained, and I tell my kids, dating is highly overrated. So, you know, until you're ready to get married and you know what you want, it's highly overrated. Well, thank you, Stacey, for calling. Appreciate you.
Can I make one more comment? I'm just curious. I don't know if we'll get to know, but I'm curious how many additional likes the mommy activist just got just by having her moment with you on the show. I know I liked her.
Well, good. Yeah, she's like 500,000. So anyway, let's go to Chris in Hazen, Arkansas. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, very well. Russ, how are you?
I'm good. Just about Thank out you. Of time. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was just calling. You had Lindsey Graham on there talking about the 20-week abortion ban. And, you know, he was framing that as pro-life, but really that's a pro-choice. So, I mean, it's just that plan. So you can still choose up to 20 weeks. You know, we need to stand on God's word. And like you had said earlier this week,
yes,
we need to go back to life begins at conception. And as a church, we need to stop, you know, accepting the crumbs of the pro-life. Okay, you have to do this, and then you can kill your baby. I mean, we have to, if we really truly believe that life begins at conception, we have to stand firm in that.
And I don't think you would find anybody that would disagree with that, but I also know the people that are working hard on Capitol Hill and the people that are fighting for legislation, that it's one step at a time, and this is one of those steps, and that's just, you know, making legislation's like making sausage, and it's just part of the process. Chris, thanks for calling. Appreciate your insights. Let's go to Mark real quick in Lincoln, Nebraska. Mark, we don't have much time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard you made a reference to the stranger within the gates. That refers to don't do evil to the strangers just because they're strangers. Don't mistreat them, don't treat them as second class citizens. It doesn't relate to anything else. I came from Cuba, you know, 26 years ago. So
from
I'm an
Cuba?
As well. I came from Cuba 26 years
yes.
ago.
Yes.
So I'm an immigrant myself. So I understand the whole complexity about the whole issue of immigration. Now the problems becomes when people that come, these are economic refugees, okay? They come looking for a better way of life from
right.
our countries. Those are failed democracies, in quotes. It's a failed political system. That's why we all come here. The problem becomes an issue when a lot of people that come to this country, the minute they become legal, then they attach themselves to the welfare system. That's the real problem with immigration.
Right, right.
They bring their parents and their grandparents that never worked in this country one day, and immediately within 3 or 4 years, they're drawing Social Security, they're drawing benefits. That's the problem with immigration today.
Right. Yeah, Mark, you're right. It's a very complicated issue. I appreciate your insights there. David in Tulsa, sorry we didn't get to you. We're out of time today. It's been a joy to be with you. It always is. Tony will be back here, Lord willing, on Monday. And hope you have a very blessed weekend. Thank you for tagging along with us today and letting us be just a small part of your life. We appreciate your support at the Family Research Council. You can find all this great content at tonyperkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at T Perkins. I don't think he's been banned. You can follow me at Russ Jones Speaks. For I know the plans I have for you, from Jeremiah 29:11, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234.